Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. I want to start out by thanking all of you for helping keep the podcast one of the most listened to podcasts in the world. There's 5 million podcasts. This very podcast you're listening to is one of 5 million. And as of yesterday, the podcast was number 10 in the business section under careers. And that's a huge accomplishment, and it only is possible because of all the value that you guys are putting on what Julie and I have been honing and presenting to all of you over the years. And remember, there's over 5,000 past podcasts. It's hard for me to say. Say that 10 times.
Yes.
And so if you want to go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the rest of it. Now, something we started about a month ago, which a lot of you are embracing, is our new newsletter. The newsletter is going to be something that we're going to be pouring a lot of effort into, and we're going to be creating a lot of exclusive content. Tomorrow, for example, I'm doing 2 interviews. And those interviews are going to be with true real estate influencers, not just with people that say they're influencers, but actually have influenced their communities, the industry, through, you know, obviously all the, you know, their accomplishments through home sales, but other things as well. So they're going to be featured on our podcast. We're having a lot of the Bravo TV stars, things like that. We don't do a lot of interviews. We haven't historically, but we're going to get back to it just for the sake of the newsletter. So for those of you who are subscribing to the newsletter, you're going to be receiving not just the notes from today's podcast and every day's podcast, but you're also going to be receiving exclusive content. And the best part of the newsletter is it's free. So just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com. HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, or you can scroll down below and just click the link. It's in the very beginning of today's show description, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. When you do, you'll receive an email. You do have to double opt in. In other words, you have to click the link in the email, letting the service provider know that you want our newsletter, and that will then make it so that you automatically start getting it every day. So please do that right away. And again, thanks to all of you for keeping this one of the most downloaded podcasts in the world. It is truly our honor and pleasure. And it is fun. We just were traveling and we were coming back from our cabin in North Carolina, and at the airport in Atlanta, going down and coming back up, we got recognized a few times, and that was pretty amazing. And the last gal we ran into at the security line on our way back in Atlanta, it's a very, very sweet gal. I think she was there with her son. Kind of surprised me. And then the fun part was that Zoe heard her thanking us for the podcast, and of course, Zoe's 10, so she's really into the idea that she can someday be a YouTube star. So right. seeing her mom and dad get recognized was a little bit of a shocking. She actually didn't, and Zoe's real, what's the word? Talkative, I'll say?
Loquacious.
Loquacious, yes. And so she didn't say anything for like 15 minutes afterwards. So Julie and I got a good laugh out of it. Anyway,
that's awesome.
So yes, thank you for helping us to accomplish our life's work of making this podcast something that all of us can benefit from. All right, so on to today's topic. Buyer agents 11-step guide, how to win the negotiating game. And this is going to be something that's going to be very drilled down. Julie and I are going to go through these points relatively quick. And again, if you want all the notes, we're going to do our best to get through all the notes. But if you want all the notes, make sure you go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, and all the notes for all the shows starting about a month ago are all sitting there waiting for you. So Julie, let's jump in.
All right. So buyer's agents, do you plan to just make an offer? Or do you plan to win the house for your clients? Well, the definition of negotiating is bringing two or more parties to an acceptable agreement. Be in it to win it, but learn to negotiate professionally to reduce the stress of the process. Today, we're going to help you polish up those negotiating skills. So this is largely based on getting the facts before you start writing your offer. Why? Because knowledge equals confidence and ignorance equals fear. What do you know about the subject property? What do you know about the seller's situation? Today, we're going to give you 11 things you must know before you write up your next offer. And again, we're going to try to get to all of them. Depends on how much we pontificate and do bonus points in between.
I think you're speaking mostly of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So know all you can about the subject property and the seller's situation, their wants, their needs. Whether you're on the listing side or the buyer side, here are the facts to gather before you start negotiating.
You know, Julie, when I was reading your notes, sorry to interrupt you,
okay.
But it actually, this would be a great content to repurposed for social media.
For sure.
So if someone wanted to, you know, obviously we're going to be having to compete in this new world for buyer agents or buyer agent contracts. You're going to have to start winning the buyer like you have to win the listing. And we teach you guys how to do that in Premier Coaching with our buyer agent mastery section, where we give you all the scripts, the objection handlers, the presentations. We told you what to do and how to do it. Well, these points that Julie is giving you today are going to be great if you wanted to make social media to reinforce the fact that, yes, you are there to help them as a professional exclusive buyer's agent. So you're going to have to start gearing your mind towards the reality that you are going to have to compete for buyers in starting mid-year of this year, maybe fourth quarter, frankly. But reality of it is, it's just like when winning a listing, you're going to have to start winning buyers. We show you how to do that in Premier Coaching. And Premier Coaching is free. So make sure you join Premier Coaching and just go to premiercoaching.com or click the link below. And showing you guys how to truly have buyer agent mastery and exclusive buyer agency, having all those skills necessary mastered before these new laws are in place, is really critical. So make sure you go to premiercoaching.com or just click the link below and join Premier Coaching. The first 30 days is free.
All right. And remember that part of your coaching that you get does include this negotiation checklist with the coaching that goes with it, the deep dive that goes more than what we're doing today. This also, I think, is a great list of what makes you different as a buyer's agent, that you right. go above and beyond. So these are also talking points. So Mark Twain said, supposing is good, but finding out is better. So that leads us to finding the facts. And Tim told you how to get the notes. So point number one, buyer's agents, read all of the MLS descriptions, including extended comments and agent comments. Many times the listing agent will actually state exactly what it will take for the seller to consider an offer. If not, call the agent and find out what the seller's priorities are, not just the price. And that's a cautionary tale to listing agents as well, who oftentimes get annoyed with all the buyer's agents calling them. Put it in the comments and save yourself some stress. All right, point number two, notice if there's any details listed such as not FHA approved or seller financing may be available. We're seeing more of that these days. Or seller to contribute up to $5,000 towards buyer's closing costs. Maybe it says as is only or contingent on seller finding suitable housing.
So why would something be not FHA approved? If it was a condo development where the owners to, like if you have a condo building with say 100 units in it and there's too many, or the percent of renters or landlords, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
It's like not, 30 or 40%, I can't remember.
Right,
exactly.
If it's too many non-permanent residents in the condo mm-hmm. development, it won't be FHA approved, for example. Again, there's approved lists that you can get from your lenders. But the other reason that you might see, just drilling down this FHA approved aspect, is that maybe the property needs too much work and the seller and the listing agent knows that it's never going to pass any kind of inspection, mm-hmm. foundation issues and whatnot, that might be excluded as well. But the problem is if you don't read the extended comments, you're going to go and show that to your prospective buyer. The buyer's going to love it. And then you're going to then realize that there's no way that the buyer's going to be able to get it, because the only way they're going to be able to buy it is using FHA financing. And the property clearly, despite the fact that the buyer really loves it, isn't going to be able to be approved for their type of financing. You not only are going to, you're going to lose the sale, and you're also going to lose that buyer, because they're going to lose confidence in you.
Well, let's clarify that. Your buyer might be FHA approved, but what we're talking about is some properties are not FHA approved.
Right.
And that's where the conflict comes in. And in that case, I think you make a good point. You really shouldn't even be showing that in the first place if your buyer can only go FHA.
But I would point that out to your buyer, just so they don't think that, you know, if they see it in Zillow or whatever, you want to make sure that you show them in the MLS why, you know, this is the deal with this property and you're only approved to go FHA with your 3% or 5% down or whatever and your, you know, not great credit. So you guys get it? So give all the information to your buyers. And the public-facing aspect of what's in the MLS, what shows up in Realtor.com and Zillow, may not approve or may not include the details of whether it's FHA approved or not. So you're going to have to, you know, the agent-to-agent comments is what I'm talking about. So make sure you are showing that to your prospective buyers. All this added information, in many cases, will be the difference between that buyer wanting to work with you and not, because they see that you're going above and beyond to actually do a great job for them. This is a good point, a good place to interject, Julie. Mm-hmm. So summarizing all the buyer agent commission lawsuit stuff, it really, for 99% of you, will have virtually no real change of difference in how you do business and how you're paid. We've done a lot of podcasts on this. Go back and listen to our past podcasts. So unless something changes in the laws or the guidelines or the proposed laws and guidelines that have been put in place, we really don't think it's going to be anything other than just business as usual. There's going to be a new system where, you know, buyer agent commissions are going to be posted. All kinds of things are going to happen. It just won't be in the MLS. So really, I think it's a bunch of Now, obviously, if you're one of the brokers that's writing a massive check, that adversely affects you. Or if, you know, all kinds of different people in the upper echelons are adversely affected. But a vast majority of you guys are not going to be adversely affected because of the fact that, guess what? They'll still be, in many cases, commissions are going to be paid by the seller on the buyer agent side. And or Julie and I anticipate very shortly, you're going to see that the buyer agent commission is going to be financeable through Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and through the VA. We anticipate all of that happening very shortly. So, yeah, I mean, back to business as usual, drill down and, you know, enjoy the spring market.
Yes, but stay tuned for changes as well, which we'll let you know about. All right, point number three in our negotiation checklist, run the history or archive, as some MLSs call it, of the property. Also, search Zillow, Google, and even YouTube to see if it may have been a for sale by owner listing prior to being listed. This search should take you 5 minutes or less, but could mean the difference between winning or losing.
I would also do a search, assuming you can find it, on the seller's name and find out if there's anything going on with the seller. The reason you want to do all this ahead of time, again, is it approves your value to the prospective buyer. But also, that prospective buyer might be cagey enough to do all this on their research themselves. And if they know more about the property than you do, well, I mean, that doesn't look good on you. So definitely do all the homework on the, you don't have to do it every single time, but certainly when the buyer's looking to land the plane and they're wanting to make an offer in the process of making an offer, do a thorough, you know, online search of the owner of the property and just, you know, poke around. Again,
go on a fact-finding mission.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, speaking of which, number four, find the days on the market so far. Is this a fresh listing or has it been on and off the market previously? Has the price been raised or lowered? Has it been pending before and gone back on the market? Well, what caused that? Was it an inspection issue, an appraisal issue? What was the deal? It's okay to call the listing agent and find out. A lot of that you can sort of figure out on your own online by doing your searches, evident of our previous point. But you can also ask the listing agent, hey, I saw it was pending a couple times. Gosh, what happened? Was that an inspection thing? And the listing agent might say, yeah, but we've got everything fixed and we have receipts.
And again,
that'd be valuable.
And again, this is one of those things that a novice agent is going to not do because but guess what? Their buyer will find this information out and the buyer will automatically see, well, this house has been listed previously or, you know, all the things that Julie just rattled off. And the buyer is going to then be thinking, well, this seller must be desperate. We're going to make a lowball offer. No, that wasn't the case at all. What really happened was the buyer or the seller's motivation changed. They thought they had a job that they're going to have to relocate to across country. Now, you know, they didn't get the job. So the house came off the market. And by the way, then the wife got pregnant. Now they actually need to sell the house because they need more space, things like that, situational things. But if you don't have all this information to point number four, and again, your buyer is going to jump to conclusions that somehow this is somehow a, you know, crazily motivated seller. And it probably is not the case, especially in a market like we have now, where essentially the sellers are still very, very much in control. Point number five.
Point number five, what are the comparable sales for this property? The most recent sales and pending. How many days on the market did those homes take to sell? And what was the list to sell price ratio for those comparables as close to your subject property as possible? Are those numbers going up or down? Remember when we did a podcast about what constitutes a quote low ball? And there was a difference between coming in at the comparable price versus something that's overpriced. It looks like a low ball, but is actually based on comps. That's the point of this point.
Well, list to sell price ratio, that's something else that people really screw up. Amateurish mistakes. Okay, so list to sell price ratio, not of the original list price, but of the final list price before the house sold. And so what you're, and I see this happen all the time in the news. Like, they're not even thinking as they're rattling off all these real estate statistics. While the certain markets are having price reductions, oh my gosh, price reductions, price reductions.
Prices are falling.
Yeah, exactly. Most sellers, you are, you know, it makes sense. Most sellers are going to be a little bit optimistic about their pricing. So if they go from like $799 to, you know, who knows, $10,000 less, that does count as a price reduction. But it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't really reflect much about the market other than the seller was just slightly overpriced. So they lower at 10,000 or 15,000 and it sells instantaneously. That's all it is. So what you want to do is when you're doing your list to sell price ratio, base it on the last list price, not the original list price. And then like say, for example, if it's listed for 800,000 and it sells for 799, well, that house sold for what? 99% of the list price versus if it was listed originally for say 825, and it sells for 800 where it should have been listed in the first place. You guys get it? And a lot of times listing agents, and I understand why in a market like this where it's such a hot seller's market, they might be pressured by the seller to list it for a higher price because maybe they're competing for the listing and the two other agents they're competing against told the seller a price that wasn't in alignment with the market's expectation. And so the agent had to make a choice, overprice it or not get the listing. Well, they're going to overprice it with the understanding that it's going to be repositioned after so many showings or so many weeks on the market. You guys get it? So you cannot read too much into the original list price in a market like this. You read into the list to sell price ratio of the final list price. That's very important, and you're going to have to point that out to your buyers, because the simple fact is again, a lot of morons are out there talking about so many markets are experiencing, you know, price reductions. Who cares? That's called normal.
It is quite literally normal. In fact, no matter what was going on with the real estate market, on average, listings that sell take 30, I think it's between 30 and 33% of active listings will do at least one price reduction before they sell, regardless of interest rates, regardless of housing crashes and everything else. That is just how it is. That's normal. So, let me just add one last thing to this, because sometimes there is a disparity between what the listing price is, what the comps are. You're trying to figure out where you should come in. Buyer's a little bit nervous. What if your comps only support a lower price? It's okay to attach your comps to your offer. It's also okay to call the listing agent and say, you know, my comps are all 20,000 lower than you. How did you arrive at your price?
Well, and ask it like Julie just scripted you to ask it, so you're not the listing agent won't feel confronted. Because guess what? That listing agent could be their Uncle Bob, who just got his real estate license and used to basically, you know, work in the warehouse in the middle of the night stacking boxes. And this is his first listing from his, you know, dear, his relatives, and he has no clue what the hell he's doing, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that does happen. So you're going to have to maybe do Bob's job for him and send him an actually thoroughly done CMA showing what the actual price will be. And then Bob will feel comfortable going to his, you know, niece and explaining that, guess what, this house is indeed priced, overpriced by 25 grand, and here's this, you know, CMA. And then the niece will, you know, knowing that Bob is basically new and she's doing him a favor, she'll put more value on the information coming in from the other agent. You guys get it? It is very normal as you become more successful in the real estate business to have to do both sides of the transaction. Not in the sense that you're being a dual agent, but in the sense that you're going to be dealing with a lot of inexperienced agents that you're going to have to, you know, essentially you're a listing agent. You get an offer from a buyer's agent. They don't know what the hell they're doing. You're going to have to help them do their job. And the opposite is also true. The MLS is your friend. When you want to know what you're dealing with, as far as the experience of the other agent, go into the MLS, find out when they've been how long they've been licensed, look to see how many sales they've done. If they are, you know, you check to see someone's done 20 sales, but 19 of them are buyers and they haven't really done any listings, you're dealing with a new listing agent. So keep all these things in mind.
Well, and keep in mind too that 50% of licensed agents sell between 0 and 1 homes per year anyway. Yeah. And of the homes that they do sell, it's usually their friend, their family, or their own property.
Well, this is the time of year when those agents are transacting, because they're doing deals from their friends and their family.
That's right, who are ready to do the deals.
Most agents, when they get into the business, they'll do, like, I think the average is 2 deals or something.
Yeah.
And they do them from their friends and their family. But then most of them after that fail because they don't build the skills and learn how to be proactive lead generators. That's what Premier Coaching is about. So there's going to be new agents. There's going to be a couple deals that will probably fall in your lap, you know, your friend from high school or whatever. But you have got to then don't assume that you're going to get any more lucky deals like that. You're going to have to start to learn to build your own business. And that's what Premier Coaching is all about. And you can join for free at premiercoaching.com.
All right. Point number six. Number five was about the comparable sales. Number six is about the active competition. What is the active competition? Does the buyer have zero other choices, a few other choices, or lots of choices? Is there new construction in the area? How does the subject property compare? Note, if there are very few competing homes, you can always expect to pay more, not less, unless it's been on the market for excessive days for some reason. And if that is the case, find out why. And I have to say, I'm going to highlight Jenny Wells in Hilton Head. She had two very different examples in her market, right? One example was somebody looking for something very specific on a canal with a view. And there was virtually nothing. I mean, there's literally no listing. So she's doing a wanted postcard. She's being very proactive to find them something. Then her other buyer is looking for a condo in which she has a huge abundance of choices. So don't assume that just because one thing is that it's not different for someone else. You've got to look at the active competition.
And active competition also takes into consideration new construction.
Yes, don't forget that.
And in many markets, new construction is going to absolutely hand resale its ass. I mean, that's
consistently.
It's consistently going to happen. And you're going to see more and more markets. Julie and I, We pay attention to builder stocks, frankly, and we've been seeing these builders and builder stocks, by the way, we're not, you know, stock expert pickers, you know, financial advisors, anything like that. But if you look at what and you start reading some of the information that's coming out of the big builders, the D.R. Hortons of the world, they absolutely positively are building and buying land, anticipating a massive, really, you know, decade-long building boom, and it's absolutely going to happen. And so if you're not paying attention to new construction, you're going to miss the boat. Because remember, and we've done a lot of podcasts on how to make money from new construction, so go back and listen to those, and it's a real big focus in Premier Coaching as well. But if you're not, you know, if you don't have the local new build reps on your center of influence past client lists and you're not really cozying up to them, you're going to be losing a tremendous amount of opportunity. Remember, for every one of those, most new homes are going to be in a move up price range. That means that those people are going to be moving up from, guess what? A house. What are they doing with that listing? That listing could be your listing if you are then able to get that referral from the builder rep. And best part, builder reps cannot list business, generally speaking, outside of their new model. They're only there to sell new construction. So they don't have anything to do with those resale listings other than refer them out. And many of them don't have real estate licenses. So by refer them out, I don't mean they're asking for a referral fee. They're just wanting to refer it to somebody who will take care of that client of that you guys will then share and then make sure you get the property sold in time for them to close on their new construction. Not difficult in this market.
No, and if they're not licensed, you can always pay them for their consideration of you with cookies and gift cards and, well, you know, make them want to send you more.
But what they truly want is they want more buyers. So
yes.
So build, bring every one of your, if you want to really, really win your new build rep, every time you get a buyer, even if the buyer thinks they're not a good fit for new construction, and I remember hearing this all the time when we sold real estate, I probably heard 50% of the time I'm not interested in new construction, and then 50% of those people would then end up buying new construction.
Yeah, they were saying that because they had some misinformation about it. I hear that from coaching clients a lot that are embracing this very point about new construction. I've heard everything from, I thought it was way out of my price range, to, I think this is a common one, there's no sidewalks, there's no trees, there's no this, there's no that, when in fact you go and visit it and there's a landscaping package and a clubhouse and a pool and lots of amenities.
Well, most people get drilled down on living in a little tiny bubble, right? I mean, sometimes the bubble's only a 5-mile radius. Sometimes it's usually like 10 or 15 miles in, you know, larger metro areas. And anything outside of that little bubble is just dead to them, right?
Yes, and also I'm laughing because so many buyers say they want the cute older cottage, you know, built in the 40s. I'm here to tell you, as you and I own lots of that, that that's not always the most fun thing to take care of. New construction saves you from all that too.
Yep.
So, all right, point number 7, what else is important about this property? Is it in the floodplain? Is it in an extremely competitive area due to a corporation moving into town or something like that? What's going to happen to the field behind the house? And are they really going to bury the power line soon? Maybe they've been saying that for a decade. This is all included in the pre-negotiation checklist that our Premier Coaching members get. You can literally take this list and every time you're negotiating, go down and ask yourself, what do I know? Have I answered all these questions?
And this is all in Premier Coaching, but I do want to point this out. If you are a listing agent and you are getting information from either, frankly, the city or from a seller about some eyesore that's going to be going away, that's going to enhance, hypothetically enhance the livability and the property's value sometime in the future, don't be dumb and put that in any of your printed material.
Yeah.
Because if that power line doesn't get buried or if that visual ugliness doesn't get done away with, guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to get sued. At the very least, you're going to have a terrible reputation with that buyer that you've then sold into that house. You guys get the point? So unless you absolutely positively, well, you know what? The move is, if you're in a situation where there are impediments to selling the property that are going to be mitigated through, you know, again, we'll just stick with burying the power lines or whatever it's going to be, you need to absolutely positively print the information out from the city or whatever, you know, utility company it is that's going to be making these changes and just leave it there for the prospective buyers. But don't put it in your own printed material because it could be implied that you're making an affirmative statement that this was definitely going to happen. Like you're attesting that this is going to be a thing versus this is the information I found online from, you know, ABC utility company.
And you know how agents are stuck on, you know, if it was listed in the MLS, then it must be included. It must be true. So unless you're actually a city planner, I think your advice is sound. Just leave it out, make it available, but don't promise anything. Okay, so again, this is all included in Premier Coaching. Next, here's another list of questions. We're going to move on to point number 8. What do you know about the seller's priorities? We just talked about the house. Now we're talking about the seller. Knowledge equals confidence, ignorance equals fear. And remember, again, negotiating is reaching an acceptable agreement between parties that have different needs. So find out what's important to each party so you can negotiate both sides and everybody still feels satisfied. Benjamin Franklin said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. So don't fall into that.
Julie does love her quotes.
I do. All right. Point number 8. What is the seller's motivation? This is a big question. Why are they moving? Do they want to move or do they have to move? Or have they already moved? Generally, a seller who has already bought their next home is far more motivated than the one who's only moving if they can get their price and hasn't even looked for the next property. So ask the listing agent and see what you can learn about the situation. They don't have to tell you, but oftentimes they will.
Well, remember, in point number 3 or 4, somewhere in there, I suggested that you guys Google search the seller's name because you might find that they are, you know, I remember very closely one that you and I went on a listing appointment on. It was on Roslyn Avenue. I remember it very clearly. Mm-hmm. And before going out, this was right when the internet started actually becoming consumer internet. Kind of dates us, but there you go. This is in the late 90s. And we found out that the seller was about to go to jail for rape.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I went out there and I took the listing and, you know, sure enough, he was very calm and, you know, it was ridiculous.
Calm and creepy.
He was calm and creepy and priced the house correctly. We got the damn thing sold before he went to jail.
Well, he was motivated. Well, he wasn't going to need the house
but,
for a while.
You know, that's the point. You got to do homework on the seller. Well, you might find that the seller just won the lottery. You might find that the seller, you know, is going to jail. You might find that the seller, all kinds of things.
Getting relocated, moving to their new construction home. All of these things affect the negotiation.
Well, public filings, too.
Yes.
I mean, they could have just sold a company. They could have just, maybe they're, you know, you might find a wedding notice. It's not always bad news, right? You might find that they just got married and that they're, you know, okay, well, guess what? They just got married and probably given their age, there's two transactions here because both the man and the woman are, you know, what have you, are going to have a house to sell and they were probably going to buy one. You guys get it? Do your homework.
One of our past clients actually found sunken treasure over in the Atlantic.
That's
so
true.
You never know what you're going to uncover.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy Thompson. You guys should research Tommy Thompson. You know, it's funny. He also went to jail.
Why are we on the jail?
Why are we on the jail?
I know. Maybe that's what reminded me subconsciously.
But he did.
Also proving that we did indeed sell real estate. You don't have stories like this if you didn't do a high volume of deals.
You guys should research this, seriously. Research Tommy Thompson's sunken gold ship. It was the largest, find ever of sunken gold off the South Carolinian coast. This was back again in the 90s. And he got together a group of investors. Julian and I, you know, sold in Columbus, Ohio, where suburbs around. Anyway, so he got together a bunch of very, very wealthy old, you know, generational wealth, you know, types. And they invested to help him build the sub. So Cameron, the guy who made Titanic, made a sub that was based on Tommy Thompson's sub. In other words, the sub was designed to go down deeper than any other sub. So he had the sub. Tommy Thompson, you know, built it with the money from these investors, found the gold, and then absconded with the gold. That's what he did.
True story.
So he took the gold and never paid the investors. And to this day, I believe he just got out of jail.
Oh, yeah,
but
finally.
But he would never tell the judge if basically where the gold was or if he even knew where the gold was. So he was put in jail for, I think, honestly, Julie, it was 15, 16 years or something, maybe 20 years, because of the fact that he wasn't willing to say if he knew where the gold was and if he did, like, where is it kind of thing. What do they call that when you don't do what the judge tells you to do? I forget what the actual term is.
Violation of
fast
something.
Track to jail. Is
fast
what it was
track
for him.
To jail. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there
contempt
you go.
Contempt of court or something
yeah,
like that.
Contempt of court. So if you guys want to have a really interesting read, read that because historically speaking, it's actually really fascinating.
Yes. Funniest pre-qualification script ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to our points. Number 9, what is the seller's ideal closing and possession date? Do they have a specific time frame that's important to them? Do they need a lease back or a longer or shorter closing time frame? Are they building or relocating? Do they have other concerns about how the timing will work? So I've got a couple examples on this. One of my coaching clients, who typically wins virtually everything she negotiates, whether she's on the buyer or seller side, came to the call once and was just completely deflated, thought she had written the perfect, competitive, super awesome contract, made it for a quick close. Well, as it turned out, the seller didn't want a quick close. Everything else was perfect, but somebody else won. They even paid less for the house, but it was because the seller got the time frame that they wanted.
Get that information because oftentimes, and you'll be surprised to learn this, experienced agents, you know what I'm about to say is true. Very rarely is the price the most important thing to the seller. They might present it as being the most important price, but what's almost always the most important thing to the seller and the buyer for that matter is convenience. That's really what rules the day. If they have, that's especially true if it's a house that their family's living in, giving them time to move out or move in, the whole thing. It's the convenience factor, and people will always pay for that.
That's right. Do you want to wrap here, or do you want to?
Let's finish, Julie.
Okay, perfect. Two more quick points. Number 10, what else, again, besides price, is important to the seller? Do they have a stainless steel fridge that they just can't part with? Would they rather include all the furniture with the sale? Are they taking the hot tub and the pool table?
Most certainly not. They hardly ever do.
Exactly.
You guys, if you want to get a side hustle going, start a used hot tub and pool table business. And as you're building your listing inventory, you'll find those are the two things that sellers never want to take. But this is kind of a funny part to interject another story. How many listings did we have where there was a pet graveyard that they wanted to?
I know. They wanted to take with them. Or I think one of them, it wasn't just the pet graveyard, but it was the like 20-foot maple tree that went with the graveyard. So you just never know, but that was super important to them.
But there was a function of finding out from the listing agent what was important to the seller, put that into the contract before the, you know, when the offer is originally submitted. That seller obviously is going to be a lot more in alignment with that potential buyer. And that, guess what? That's how you're going to win the deal.
And it may have had nothing to do with price.
Right.
All right. Number 11, has the seller had other offers and turned them down? If so, what was wrong with those offers? And how can you win this time where those other ones failed? Do they have unrealistic expectations, or is there maybe a pet graveyard that's important to
you? You also could have in those situations where you, again, have an inexperienced listing agent that doesn't know that, like maybe some, you know it all told them, oh, you don't want to take any FHA offers. Well, maybe that listing agent doesn't even know anything about the fact that, you know, FHA offers in this marketplace are going to be very frequent because the terms and the conditions of getting those loans is more lenient than, say, for, you know, a traditional normal loan, whatever, right? But that listing agent might need to be educated by you explaining to them that the FHA offers aren't this, you know, fiery burning Game of Thrones dragon that just wait lurking to, you know, roast them.
Exactly. All right. We're going to wrap it up by reminding you that proper previous planning prevents pitifully poor performance. The more you know about the house and the seller, the better offer you can put together. Remember, your buyer wants to actually buy the house, not just write an offer.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. And if you are willing to learn and spend a little bit extra time on these, this is what I'm talking about, and Julie and I are talking about, all of our coaches are talking about, these points and the things we teach you in Premier Coaching with regards to having a, you know, formal exclusive buyer agent presentation and the rest of it, this is stuff you should have been doing all along anyway. This is how you prove your value to your prospective buyers. This is how you, if you want to have a great brand in your marketplace, brand is a, I think, a workaround, at least it has become that in real estate, for the idea that you have to work to build a reputation. So a lot of emphasis and a lot of, you know, air quoting here, training has been put on agents must build their brand. Well, why do I want to build my brand, Mr. Marketing Know-It-All Guru? Well, it's because your brand is what the reason people are going to be attracted to you. Well, in real estate, there's this thing called experience and actually having been successful helping other people buy and sell real estate. And that's actually the real damn reason why people want to do business with you. Your brand comes from the success you've created for other people. You can't buy that success that you've created for other people. In other words, you cannot shortcut the work it takes to build a really great reputation in the marketplace. And don't let anybody fool you into believing so, especially through social media. You need to become an influencer, more videos, more of the rest of it. We talk about this on the podcast all the time. Anyone listening to us over time has realized that what we're saying is true. As more and more people become agents, become, you know, media influencers, the less value that becomes, and the more value the agents that are actually doing the transactions, because they're willing to actually put in the real work of real estate, have become. And this market is going to suffer no fools. It's going to change faster than it ever has before. Not just do we have the regulations and the laws, but we're also going to see a real influx of, I'm incredibly excited about all the AI that's going to be positively helping agents with skills. And so really what we're going to see is we're going to see AI is going to largely supplement or in some cases replace agents that have low skills. I honestly believe that's true. That there's no way that's not true. But the agents that have the communication skills and the actual skill and then have actually built a, you know, war chest of happy past clients and successful transactions, they're going to excel at levels that wouldn't even be conceivable in the past. Because people, consumers, are going to become much more discerning who they work for and work with, rather. Just makes sense, Julie.
Yeah. So what are you going to do about these points, guys? If you want to be doing some social media posts, here's your excuse to do it. Talk about that. You don't just throw an offer together and hope for the best. You follow a specific 11-step process to negotiate on behalf of your clients to make sure they're not just making an offer, but they're going to actually get the home that they plan on living in.
So guys, please, your homework for today's podcast is obviously become a subscriber to HarrisRealEstateDaily.com, HarrisRealEstateDaily.com. And if you've not done so yet, please do become a member of Premier Coaching. We've made it very easy for all of you to say yes, yes, yes. Just go to PremierCoaching.com or click the link below in the show description. In the meantime, thank you for helping this podcast to stay one of the most downloaded podcasts in the world of the 5 million podcasts in our section. We are, you know, consistently now, yesterday was number 10 and day before is number 11. And, you know, who knows where this podcast might be in a week or so. Thank you for, you know, recognizing the fact that Julie and I do put a lot of heart and soul and, you know, straight up effort into making this podcast something that's definitely going to put you in a position to help others and make money because of this market. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.